Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Hello and welcome to the latest Business of the Business podcast. I am your co-host, JP John Paz from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me is the financial wrestling genius himself, the doctor, Lavi Margolin. Lavi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, John. In a fortuitous occurrence, you know, I'm always scanning the news to see some unique pieces and insights into the wrestling world. And I came across a wonderful article by Tom Liturgy on the Pittsburgh wrestling scene, and I copy and pasted it. I wasn't gonna read the whole thing. I was just gonna excerpt it a little bit, but then I was like, well, maybe Tom's available, and we're grateful that he was. So welcome to the show, Tom.
Well, thank you very much, and before we go any further, thanks for getting my surname correct.
I thought I was gonna mess it up and you were gonna correct me. I'm so glad I did.
So Tom, how did you kind of discover pro wrestling? Like, were you always a fan? Where did you grow up? And does that play a part in what you were a fan of?
It did. I'm from a little town. If you look at a map of Pennsylvania and you see Johnstown and you see Altoona, there's a little town in between called Portage, Cambria County. And we got cable in 83, 84, right around the time that Hulk Hogan hit the national scene, and I was a Hulkster from very early on, and became a fan of the NWA as well, and just about any wrestling that I could see on television through college, and up to this day, really.
So when you kind of are growing up, if you will, discovering wrestling, it wasn't always on your radar, though, before that?
No. We lived in a little little coal town. The WWF, I would later learn, WWWF would often come to Johnstown. And, you know, my dad was a coal miner. We were, you know, we weren't very well off at the time. And, you know, around the late 70s, early 80s, things went sideways. And I had never heard that that wrestling was at the Johnstown War Memorial. My mother, somewhere along the line, I was a big superhero fan. And somewhere along the line, my mother realized that there was a wrestler named Andre the Giant. And that's who I really took to from the early days, but didn't know anything about much about him because, you know, we didn't have cable. We had three TV stations, and wrestling was never on any of it. And then when I went to college and had cable and met some people that were also wrestling fans, you know, it that's where it really took off. And that's where I met Bobby O, who later became the owner of the Keystone State Wrestling Alliance and brought me on as a ring announcer, and I did the best I could with that and writing for 20 years for Pittsburgh's premier professional wrestling organization.
So you kind of eventually fell in love with the business.
As soon as I found out about an opportunity to do something, on the independent scene, I loved to do it.
When you're looking back, you know, when you're first starting liking wrestling, what did you like about it? You know what I mean? Like, what kind of like caught your eye? What led you to it?
Well, it, you know, like I said, growing up as a superhero fan, Superman, Captain America, all that stuff. It was, you know, real life superheroes. It was real life mythology. And that really played into what I liked. And also, I was a big sports fan as well. And it just all worlds seemed to come together. And that's what I've enjoyed doing for all this time.
Who were your sports team? I'm guessing Steelers.
Really the Pirates. The Pirates were my team growing up. The 79 World Series, Willie Stargell, Omar Moreno, all those guys. And then, of course, the Steelers. My dad, to this very day, is a big Steelers fan. So we were a big Steelers fan family. And, between baseball and football, we really didn't have any basketball other than I would watch on television Ralph Sampson with Virginia playing basketball before guys like Patrick Ewing, before guys like Michael Jordan. And I was a big fan of Dr. J, Julius Erving in basketball. Hockey, even though Johnstown to this day is a big hockey town, I never really took to hockey, but everything else I loved.
When you're looking at it, right, who was your guys in wrestling outside of the Hulkster? Like when you're looking
at that? Well, it's funny because the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson. I really liked Ricky Morton because, you know, it's a cliche. He looked like me. He was a littler guy. I'm not the biggest guy in the room. And when I met Ricky Morton, he was just like an inch taller than me. So, you know, it was really cool, those guys. And, of course, guys like the Road Warriors and then many of the WWF guys after that. I was too young to be a big Bruno Sammartino fan, but I met Bruno afterwards, and Dominic DiNucci was a good friend and a great guy. And that's, you know, I'm trying to think AWA, things like that. You know, Road Warriors, like I said, I was a big fan of the Road Warriors, and I just always loved the storytelling. Nikita Koloff, Magnum T.A., I was a big Magnum T.A. fan, big fan of Sting early on, and, you know, a lot of those guys.
So not just a Northeast, like, WWF guy. It seems like you're spreading the wealth there with NWA and AWA, too.
Yeah, because, you know, by the time I was in college and I went to college in 86, cable was starting to go all over the place. That's where you could see guys from the AWA and, of course, syndicated TV shows. They had the NWA before 6:05 on Saturday nights. I got to see all of that. Met Ronnie Garvin And a couple of years ago, I was really, really happy for Ronnie when he won the championship off of Ric Flair on my 20th birthday, September 25th, 1987. And I told him that, and he goes, "Well, you remember that?" And I go, "It's my 20th birthday." You know, so, you know, it's always love those guys.
Bruno, huge, Pittsburgh star, right? You weren't growing up, obviously, you weren't a big Bruno guy then.
Well, I was too young, you know. The studio wrestling, which was a large demographic to this very day, calls professional wrestling studio wrestling. It was on the television here on what was then WIIC Channel 11 in Pittsburgh, now WPXI Channel 11 in Pittsburgh from 1958 to 1974, the last year or two on a Fox station. I was seven by the time it went off the air. So, and I lived in a different market. So I never really got to see studio wrestling.
When you're looking at getting into the business, is that something you ever kind of foresaw, like, oh, I'm never going to do wrestling or get in the business? Or is it something you're like, you know, maybe I will get into this?
You know, especially in college, I had no idea that there was something called independent wrestling. My friend Lord Zoltan called it outlaw wrestling back in the day. These independents before there were independents. I never realized that was such a thing until I really met my friend Bobby O in Pittsburgh, was involved with the KSWA in the early days and invited me to be a ring announcer somewhere along the line. And from the year 2000 until our very last show just a couple of weeks ago on December 6th, you know, the KSWA was Pittsburgh's independent pro wrestling show. We were in the city limits and in and around Pittsburgh for 25 years, more than 400 events.
I'm going to hand it over to Lavi to talk about the state of the Pittsburgh wrestling scene.
Yeah, first I sort of want to set the scene a little bit, because as a New Yorker, John's in New Jersey, probably better at geography than me, but like generally when I think about Pennsylvania, it felt like sort of very northeast in the sense of that it's like an extension of New York, New Jersey, but Pittsburgh, I've come to learn, is somewhat different. My wife is from, she grew up in Morgantown, West Virginia. So she would talk about going to Pittsburgh and sort of like reframe my thinking, sort of like, this isn't exactly like metropolitan New York City. It's sort of a mix of that. So like, how does that play into the type of wrestling that takes place and the type of workers that pass through Pittsburgh?
Well, the good news is we are in a geographic location where guys and gals come from all over the place. Like there's some from Ohio, West Virginia. Sometimes they come from New York. I was on a couple of shows. It wasn't our show, but I was ring announcing another event, and they came from Canada. A couple people came from Canada. I knew some people that came up from Maryland, that sort of thing. Most of the traveling talent that I'm aware of, you know, all came from the East Coast and a little bit into some of the Midwest. But Pittsburgh is really cool. I always say New Jersey can have Philadelphia. You know, it's that far away from us. There's so many cities that are closer to Pittsburgh than Philadelphia. So when I've done my research over the years, I haven't really seen a Philadelphia promotion that did a lot of the community events and things that the KSWA and some of the other promotions in the area have done. But yeah, the KSWA was different than everybody else. And, but we had a lot, and we kind of were like the studio wrestling guys, where we had our core group of wrestlers and some guys would come in and out, but, it's mostly Eastern promotion throughout Western Pennsylvania and beyond.
So I first became aware of the Pittsburgh independent wrestling scene through, of course, the After Mags. And the favorite of the mags, the most mentioned person, was T. Ranchula. So was he a KSW regular? I think he owned a promotion? What was his positioning?
He did. He was an owner of Far North Wrestling. They ran some shows up in Butler County, which is north of Pittsburgh, and they used to do some things in the south side as well. He did wrestle with us for a couple of years, beginning in 2016, and he had his last match at a under. We used to have the Brawl Under the Bridge in Homestead. We didn't do it this year, but he had his final match under the bridge this year. Yeah, so T. Ranchula, who always said that The Rock was one of his first opponents. He wrestled with us. Lord Zoltan, who was a regular as Ken Jugan in 1983-84 with the WWF house shows in Hamburg and that sort of thing. He was there as well. And throughout the years, we've had other guys on the independent scene that have been veterans of the independent scene have wrestled with us.
I think one of Demolition Axe's last matches was with KSWA. I remember being especially notable, just kind of seeing him on the scene. And it was probably an article that you wrote that.
Yeah, it was. Bill Eady was a friend of, and it still is a friend of one of our wrestlers, Sean Blanchard. And when he was going to call it quits, we decided that his last singles match was against Sean Blanchard at a Brawl Under the Bridge several years ago. And it was really cool. He received a proclamation from the state as well as the city, because he really got started in the Pittsburgh region. He was originally from a small town about an hour south of Pittsburgh. And for the longest time, his dad was still with us, and he would travel frequently from Atlanta to visit his dad.
One of the more recent highlights on the Pittsburgh scene, I think, are the D'Angelo boys, Dominic D'Angelo, a friend of the show. So any thoughts on him? And feel free to cut a promo on him. We'll be sure to share it.
Before we go into Dominic, you mentioned a good friend of mine, Bill Apter, who was inducted into the KSWA Hall of Fame in 2017. Bill Apter is a great friend, and he is supposed to come to a show here in the spring, and I hope to meet up with him. One of the greatest guys to ever be involved in pro wrestling. Dominic D'Angelo, I don't know if I've ever met his brother. I know his brother has done some wrestling, and they look almost identical, so I may have seen his brother and thought it was Dominic. I don't know. But Dominic used to come to our shows as a fan with some other friends, but then he was able to get involved. He, like me, he's a writer for some wrestling, online wrestling organizations, and that really kind of took him away from being ringside at KSWA shows. But he is a friend of mine, and I couldn't cut a promo. A babyface versus a babyface. I don't know if I could cut that kind of promo.
We were hoping you would turn him heel. So, you know, one of the things that we've actually been exploring the last few weeks is it's sort of like in the zeitgeist is the decline of or perceived decline of independent pro wrestling, with different promoters pushing back on that and so on. So, like, we've talked to, of course, Game Changer Wrestling, Brett Lauderdale, Jersey Championship Wrestling, and so on. Like, do you see a decline in popularity in Pittsburgh wrestling? Does that have anything to do with this promotion closing up shop recently?
What's happened in recent years is there has been a glut of promotions either running shows against some of the established wrestling organizations. There is, at one time, the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission was a strong athletic commission, and they would periodically come to shows and enforce the rules of the athletic association. And in recent years, there has been a change in that, which has allowed a lot of people that maybe just, you know, found themselves with a wrestling ring and, hey, we're going to put this ring up and have shows. And that is kind of, you know, it's a little different than the established organizations like KSWA, IWC, which is in Elizabeth, Pennsylvania. Next year, it becomes the longest running professional wrestling organization in Western Pennsylvania, an outstanding organization. There's Rise, there's RWA, Renegade Wrestling Alliance in West Newton, and the Uniontown Rise is in Uniontown. Those are some of the promotions that have been running regular shows for, you know, upwards of two decades. I know Rise, I think, is going to have their 10th anniversary next year. RWA is between 10 and 20 years old. Those guys have been around for a long time as well. You know, there are spot shows. We had a spot show. Al Snow's organization, Ohio Valley Wrestling, was supposed to have an event in Western Pennsylvania. I don't think that it ever went through. So, you know, there is such a glut of promotions out there trying to run shows and do shows. Yeah. Had we had sellouts everywhere we gone for the last 2 years? No. You know, there are many. Another thing, we don't have like groups from Rise, Uniontown, which is an hour south of us. They didn't, you know, we didn't share fans, but if somebody was on the border of going one place or another, they'd go to one that was geographically closer to them. So, you know, I think that with as many shows as there have been, and television wrestling, you know, you can stay home and watch TV wrestling. My wife tells me you could find that every day. If you stay home, you could find it on TV. You can find it streaming in different ways. Of course, we had our big blockbuster shows, but there were times we ran 25 events a year. Were we going to have 500 people at 25 events a year? No, sadly not. But I don't know anybody that does.
Yeah, I think if there is, you know, a continued decline, I think it will hurt, you know, the pro wrestling business. You know, overall, I think that's a place where people, you know, discover their fandom. You know, for example, actually, it is basically 1 year ago, I was allowed, because he was 10, so maybe he wouldn't copy things, to go to the WWE holiday show in Madison Square Garden. It was quite expensive, so we had the cheap seats, and he's kind of like, okay, thanks, Dad. That was fine. Kind of like, whatever. And then we went to a tiny show in a VFW, and even though smoking is outlawed in New York State, no one's going to bother the veterans, and, like, you know, it was tight, three rows, and, a wrestler threw like candy into the crowd. And then when my son realized you're allowed to like throw it back, like, and yell at people, and when he was just like in love, and that was just like so transformative for him. And we're going to the AEW show in the Hammerstein Ballroom this Saturday as his third show. And I'm curious to see like what that balance is. But all that is to say that I think the infrastructure of independent wrestling is so important for building fan affinity. What do you think about that?
It does. You brought up a lot of good points, because especially your WWE tickets, they're astronomical now. Take a look at their business model. They're getting that money too. People are spending. People that can't afford it are spending $300 to be in the third row of a WWE event, and they sometimes refuse to go to an indie show. You know, I call it being a fan of TV wrestling as opposed to true wrestling, because if you're a true fan of wrestling, you're going to check it out in your neighborhood, a town like Pittsburgh, where you can go to a show within a half an hour from practically anywhere you are. And then once you do get those people in, they always tell it's special, because they have access to the wrestlers. And like you said, they could, you know, they can hurl insults, heckle the wrestlers. And sometimes you can, get their attention, and oftentimes get their attention. So that was one of the things that we had in the KSWA, was a great fan base that never bought any of the garbage. If you had a, we had storylines, we were very storyline based. And if somebody did something that was against this, you know, what they were expecting, sometimes they would accept it, sometimes they wouldn't. You know, that is a very loyal fan base and a very smart fan base. And we were lucky to have that. And if you do that as a promotion, then, you know, you're going to be well off.
I'm a little old school in that I get excited when I see promotions are still running on television, no matter if it's a Diginet, cable access or whatever. In Pittsburgh, are there local promotions that still utilize traditional television?
Yes. Regular television. I'm sorry, I missed that part. No, there really isn't anybody. There was a like IWC in its early days where there was a still is a radio personality, Bubba the Bulldog. He was the one of the original owners of IWC, International Wrestling Cartel. And they had a TV contract. Back in the day, PWX out of McKeesport, they had a local cable outlet. But, you know, nobody's spending that kind of money anymore to be on television when you can have a streaming.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Streaming organization, Sidekick Media, Michael Sorg is the guy locally, and he's traveled throughout the country with a team, and they have the streaming capabilities of some of the wrestling organizations in and around Pittsburgh, as well as I've seen throughout the country. So those are, you know, some of the leaders in streaming that we see.
So we want to say we heard it here first. So are there some talents that have not yet broken out, maybe on a bigger stage, that you want to highlight here and that we should go look for in the world of streaming and YouTube?
Streaming and YouTube, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Like I said, go to Sidekick Media. You can see that's a Pittsburgh-based organization. You can see some of the shows that they promote. And that's the one that I know of here in the Pittsburgh region. Michael Sorg is a great guy. He has a lot of product. You can check that out. And goes to some of the, I think that he does, if there's anybody that does anything streaming here, I think you'd have to go through him. I think he does all of those. Like the KSWA, we always never really did that because we always emphasized buying a ticket, an inexpensive ticket, and come and see it live. That's what we always championed.
Is there a male or female wrestler that you think someone should go out of their way to find either video or to come and buy a ticket to see, because they're going to break out on the big scene soon?
One of my favorites is Beast Man. You've seen him maybe even on the NWA. He is a guy that's been around for a long time. Great gimmick, great athlete. He has a great Attitude, check out Beast Man. One of my favorites in the KSWA was a guy named Harley T. Morris. He really started, he's still only in his early 30s. He started, about 10 years ago. And I've never seen anybody like him before where he can just stand there and generate heat. People will boo him and call him Barbie, and because he has the bleach blonde hair and, you know, it works out well. That is a guy, I've never seen anybody like him before anywhere, where he just generates heat by standing there. That is, those are two of my favorites.
Thanks. Let me turn over to John.
So, Tom, where can everybody find and follow you as far as social media and anything else you've got going on?
Well, you know, you could always find me. I'm still at KSWA Trapper on Twitter. I'm always going to call it Twitter. You can go to KSWA Wrestling, find me there. KSWA Digest is the wrestling blog that I have about wrestling in Pittsburgh. I'm probably not going to write a ton more about wrestling because, you know, I'm not going to be working in it primarily anymore. Maybe some historical pieces. If somebody asks me to do something and I agree to it, we'll see about that. But, you know, I do a lot of mainstream writing as well. But yeah, like I said, you could see my name here, but sometimes liturgy is difficult for people to find to spell. So they always forget the second E. So that you can find me on Facebook and all the socials that way.
All right, Tom, thank you so much for all the time today. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys reaching out. You know, the article that I put out there, I wanted to put out, loyalty is the number one thing for me. I've been loyal to the KSWA for 20 years. They've been loyal to Pittsburgh for 25. But now that we're over, I wanted to help put over some of my friends at some of these other organizations, IWC, Rise, RWA, you know, some of these great organizations that have been around for a long time. So I appreciate you guys reaching out to me.
Thanks, Tom. Looking forward to next time.
All right. Thank you, guys. Anytime. Have a good one.
You too. All right, Alavi, let's get to the news. You want to talk about Titan Towers? Yeah. What in the world?
John, I don't know if you took a peek at the news that we put together, but we're talking about almost things that we never talk about. So we're going to have some fun here. So this, you know, came across in my alerts. It was kind of an interesting story when it first came out. You know, Titan Towers was going to be sold and built into apartment complexes, and that's still the plan, so I wanted to give an update on that. MB Financial's plan is to do away with about two-thirds of the office building's parking and create one, two, and three-bedroom apartments, along with extensive amenity spaces, including a large outdoor pool. Now, John, I'm not meaning to cause trouble, but wouldn't this be like a historic site? Maybe some people in Stanford want to look into historic preservation, right? You can't chop up Titan Towers. I know if you like go to the inside, that's one thing, but you know, that's crazy. The six affordable units would be priced to tenants earning up to half of the region's average median income. So, you know, like reduced rent apartments. So you can get a family of three in there for $1,462, but it would be difficult to do so with the lottery and so on. An MB Financial unit bought the building for $3.75 million last Christmas, according to city records. It has stood vacant since, but it's planned to be completed as early as mid-2027. So, John, I don't know if I told you this, but a few years ago, we spent the weekend in Stanford just to see, like, is this a good place for our family and whatever? And we had no issues with it, but ultimately we didn't move there, of course. But I don't know, 2027, could you imagine living in Titan Towers? That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would be pretty cool, actually.
I guess they would have to spruce it up around it, which they probably will, right? Because it was kind of like an office park, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I'm sure, you know, with what they're spending and the time they're done, it'll be quite the place. So looking forward to continuing to follow that.
What is going on? Speaking of WWE, what is going on in NXT right now?
Yeah, so just a little bit of a look back, because I don't think we had a chance to kind of close the loop on some of their most recent shows, but then a look ahead, because the first time and second time, maybe third time we saw it, we're sort of like, will they continue doing these shows on the road, and it seems to be working. And basically Brandon Thurston was like, if it wasn't profitable, they probably wouldn't be doing it. I don't think it's like completely developmental. So, I mean, when you have talent under contract, you might like say, okay, well, that's a cost anyway. We're allowed to have them wrestle a certain amount of dates a year and then put them on the road. So how's it going? It seems like it's going okay at the moment. So NXT Deadline, so that's more of a PLE, but 1,982 tickets on December 6th in the Boeing Center in San Antonio. When they were on the road a little bit after that in Greensboro, North Carolina, that show did about 1,489, according to WrestleTix. Township Auditorium, Columbia, South Carolina. That reminds me of, like, you know, watching WCW Saturday Night or something like that. And we'll be here on Township Auditorium, which is great to see because you don't often hear WWE in that venue, of course. And this is another opportunity to do that. So as of the last count, I don't think WrestleTix, like, closed off these counts in a final accounting, but it was less than 1,000 tickets there in a small setup in a larger venue. Macon Zidi Auditorium in Macon, Georgia. That show, there wasn't a final counting, 776. So maybe they weren't doing that great now that I look at it. But whatever's going on, it seems to be working for them. Nashville and Knoxville, Knoxville first, 29th and 30th. Knoxville Civic Coliseum and The Pinnacle. And then Atlanta area, February 24th, Center Stage, so not a surprise there, but Kennewick, Washington, February 13th, Toyota Center. So more on the road. John, in terms of distribution, one of the things that I was thinking about, was with Peacock not necessarily keeping the PLEs and WWE's library migrating somewhere, the PLEs would seem to make a lot of sense for me just on the CW, right? Like as specials, I think having a whole nother night of wrestling would be like too much for the CW, and it didn't really make sense to have like TNA if you're not going to have NXT on the CW, but like just having the occasional PLE, like a Clash of the Champions type thing, would make a lot of sense to me. What do you think, John?
Not a bad idea at all. Might as well kind of do that, and obviously that would help out the CW the next time around. They want to do more deals with NXT and maybe get some more money because you could put in some bigger shows there. So good idea.
Yeah, thank you. And of course, I credit myself for bringing NXT to the CW by tagging Brian Schwartz on LinkedIn.
Yes,
and suggesting that they have wrestling on it. So a Barry Horowitz move for me, the pat on the back.
Now, what is going on with Cyberfight, Bushiroad, and the rest of the Japanese financials?
Yeah, so Bushiroad's financials have been out for a month and somewhat talked about, but I just thought that A, we didn't talk about it, but B, now that we have a little bit of Cyber Fight's financials, it's worth coming back to and so on. So Cyber Fight had been losing money, and they still are, but they're losing less money. In Japan, the fiscal year is a little bit different, but 2022, $4.55 million loss, 2023, $0.69 million loss, 2024, $1.41 million loss, but now they're almost profitable, $0.09 million loss. In yen, that was, 14 million yen. So they're really nearly there, here or there, you know, in terms of a purchase. Now, John, I haven't been following the creative much, but people are attributing to the Ozawa effect. Are you familiar with Ozawa?
Ozawa, no.
Okay. So, the Pro Wrestling Noah's Archive, who, you know, seems to be following this, of course, closely, attributed this to the Ozawa effect. So I have to, I guess we both have to educate ourselves and see what that's all about. Because if it turns profitable, I think that's a pretty interesting thing. Because as we've talked about many times, Cyber Agent, the parent company, they're sort of like the sleeping giant in the industry. Right, they did all these acquisitions of wrestling. They have a distribution streaming platform, but beyond that, you know, of course, they were investing because they didn't give up when they lost almost a little bit more than $4.5 million a year. And then you total that up over all these years, how much they may have lost. But the company overall, made a profit of $478 million this year. Let's say they wanted to like invest more in pro wrestling in a serious way. They could be a major, major player. I mean, they already are a player, but like, just imagine the, you know, the possibilities there. So something to think about. Now, that was their total year. So Bushiroad, they just covered their quarterly amounts, and they have a presentation material that usually accompanies their quarterly report. So just wanted to cover some of those elements that were in there. And I don't know why they call it 2026 yet. Again, in Japan, it's different. But as they say, in fiscal year 26, third quarter, so it's like in the future, Tokyo Dome Tournament was held on January 4th, 2026, featuring Tanahashi's retirement match and Iron Wolf's debut match. So I'm not sure why they talk about it in the past tense, but maybe that's a translation thing. But advance tickets have already surpassed 31,548. That was a month ago. From what I understand now, John, it's completely sold out. I'm not sure what that total is and what the setups are, but obviously a great, great success. Hard to know, though, like if that is going to help you for the future, right? Like, obviously, in a much smaller example, Memphis Wrestling, Memphis Memories, right, in the early to mid-90s, when you would do those shows once a year, you can get a huge crowd to the Mid-South Coliseum, whereas like regular weeks would be less than 1,000. So something to think about. So Dream Queen Show, they report Dream Queendom Show 2025. Tickets are selling at a pace that surpasses previous Stardom events held at Raigoku. I'm not going to try and pronounce the whole thing, mess it up, but you know the place. Stardom announces business partnership with CMLL, which was reported on at the time. Okay, so there's a bar chart here in terms of their net sales in the quarter. 1,483 million yen, up 22 million yen compared, I guess, to the previous quarter. Looks like it's holding up pretty well. What else? New Japan held summer tournaments. Stardom held summer tournaments such as the Five Star, with Kanemoto serving as a regular on the TV program. Women's wrestling was broadcast live for the first time in 23 years. Let's see, what else? An interesting element is they have something that they're focusing on called IP developer, intellectual property that they're hoping to maximize more revenue. So for their sports unit, which is basically just New Japan and Stardom now, I'm not sure what happened with their kickboxing and shootboxing type endeavors in the last few years, but what are they trying to maximize with their IP? Pro wrestling shows, pro wrestling films, production and distribution of content, and professional wrestling goods, planning, and sales.
So how about, you're talking obviously the Japanese wrestling scene, what about the British wrestling scene, which we never talk about on this show?
Yeah, so thanks to Romy Glazer, who is the first person to share the article with me, and then later, a day or two later, I got it in my Google News alerts, and it was a little bit on X floating around, but wrestling execs to pin down £5 million funding for Project Fight Launch. Ben Webb, a British pro wrestler, is working with Oakwell Advisory on plans for a revamped European series that would aim to capitalize on the interest of millions of British fans. A British professional wrestler is in talks with potential backers to secure millions of pounds in funding. Sky News has learned that Ben Webb, who participated in the WWE's franchise under the name Trent Seven, is working with advisors to raise that amount to build Project Fight into Europe's number one televised wrestling brand. Webb has enlisted Oakwell, the sports advisory firm, which is all working on efforts to attract private capital into British cycling, to advise on the fundraising and the development of the new product. The Project Fight team is said to have had discussions with Sunset and Vine, the production company, and Paramount, the owner of Channel 5 in the UK. I don't know, I didn't have a chance to look if that's Paramount, about collaborating on the new venture. Talks with prospective investors are understood to have been underway for weeks. If successfully secured, the new funding would be raised at a pre-money valuation of roughly £10 million. The capital would also allow Project Fight to break even in its third year, according to its architects. Mr. Webb said the project's ambition was to transform the UK and European professional wrestling landscape and create a business valued at over £100 million over the next 5 years. It comes amid a burgeoning interest in wrestling among international fans. talking about WWE on Netflix, AEW. Research suggests that up to 6 million people in Britain alone consider themselves to be wrestling enthusiasts, with Project Fight aiming to tap into that base and bridge that gap between diehard and casuals. I built a company from a disused scout hut with 40 friends and family in the crowd and grew it organically to thousands at the NEC, all over the UK, Japan, Mexico, USA, and the world, and it helped change the landscape of British wrestling, Mr. Webb told the news. I'm not sure what that means. Is Trent Seven a promoter already? I'm trying to understand, like, John, help me translate from British to English here. I built a company from a disused scout hut.
I have no idea. It must be a British thing. I have no clue.
Somebody help us out. I mean, we can go to Grok or whatever later. But and he's claiming that he has shows all over these different places. So, okay. So I think that covers it. But actually, there's a little bit more here on the business side. So Project Fight's advisory board includes Roger Draper, former chief executive of Sports England, and the Lawn Tennis Association, and Peter Engel, Angel, the CEO of Sunset and Vine. The venture is also formulating a broader content distribution strategy aimed at utilizing wrestling's existing social media followers and content sharing partnerships with major wrestling adjacent influencers. Mr. Webb said the Project Fight would have a gender balanced roster, including females from all over the world. The roster of wrestlers being lined up is said to have a combined social media following of more than 12 million. Okay, so like, you know, one wrestler that's been on WWE, right? Like, you get a ton of followers. So a premium pilot event is expected to take place next year, depending on the successful completion of the fundraising. People always say, like, if a wrestling show needs a pilot, like, their prospects aren't great. I'm not dimming it here, but John, this sounds very, very ambitious with a lot of different connections. What do you think of it all?
I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, like the pilot and everything. Sometimes I feel like it almost sounds like they know it's not going to happen. That kind of thing. But, you know, I'm hoping, I'm wishful.
Yeah, it's kind of like that thing where either something from America translates well across the world and that internationalness of it, like, it seems larger than life. But when you try and do it locally, like, it doesn't work out as well. Or, you know, other things that translate. Even, and I know it's a lot more popular now, but, like, even Major League Soccer being like, you know, there's so many international fans here and there's so many youth that play soccer, it's going to be huge. But 30 years on, obviously it's grown a lot and they have their own stadiums. It's still not like, you know, a huge thing. And compare that to the WNBA, which has just been like, finally, you know, a big success.
Now, you talked about Japan, talked about England. What about India? What's going on with maybe a little GLW? What about India wrestling?
Yeah, John, you remember when we were like talking about it a few months ago, like maybe the biggest media deal that you haven't heard of? So now I got curious. So I was like, what's going on? So first, a little bit of summary from Grok, and then we'll get into a specific article. GLW announced in August 2025 as a partnership between Praiser Bharati and AX Sports, part of UK-based Adi Group, was planned to launch with an official unveiling on September 17th and broadcast starting October 4th on DD Sports, with streaming on Waves and radio via All India Radio. It was promoted as India's first major wrestling entertainment league, featuring great family, scripted storylines, Indian culture, and the great Kali, of course. However, as of December 18th, there's no evidence that GLW launched or made it to TV in India. No reports confirm any unveiling in September, broadcast in October, November, or ongoing season. Instead, articles from November indicate that AX Sports and Praiser Bharati dropped the GLW concept after reviewing proposals. These sources described GLW, referred to as an Australian-originated or West-first idea. And that was, you know, it was rumored that, you know, the promoter came from Australia, who's already involved in the business, a former guest of the show, as outdated and mismatched for India's market, with the partnership shifting to a new, more Bharat-first homegrown wrestling entertainment product. So rather than speculate on that, let's get into this article, which was actually posted a number of places on the ANI PR Wire. I'm not sure if that's like, you know, the AP in India. but Adi Group and AA Sports to ignite India's sports entertainment revolution with a power-packed Bharat-first approach in partnership with Prasar Bharati. AX Sport, the flagship sports entertainment platform of London-based Adi Group, in collaboration with India's Bharati, are charging ahead with fire in their stride. They have greenlit an out-of-the-box, eye-catching Indian storyline that fuses Bharat's rich entertainment and cultural heritage with the raw power of wrestling and the nation.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This is Michael Rosenbaum.
Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
This rising spirit of nationalism, pride, equanimity, and valor. This is not just a refresh. It is a reinvention. A person closely associated with one of the content providers revealed that this is a high-impact, Bharat-first vision designed to resonate deeply, inspire passionately, and dominate the Indian sports entertainment landscape to satisfy the world's largest and pickiest millennial and Gen Z demographic with a compelling storyline that could truly capture the pulse of Indian audiences for multiple seasons. They also claim it has the support of grassroots bases, in-depth outreach to organizations across urban, semi-urban, and rural India. The companies have also been evaluating for several months a proposal from Australian-originated GLW for this upcoming India-centric sports content. Sources reveal that a rigorous review fueled by in-depth market research and direct stakeholder consultations exposed critical gaps. Its outdated West-first legacy-driven approach was simply out of touch with the dynamics, evolving demands of Indian's sports and entertainment ecosystem. Sports say, these persons have officially dropped GLW despite the aggressive pitching, as its out-of-touch proposal has no place in the evolving landscape. They're said to be doubling down on its new property's identity as a proudly homegrown powerhouse, crafting content that reflects India's realities, celebrates its athletic grit, and meets sky-high viewer expectations every day for 40 weeks. Okay, so as I understand, the shell of the concept is there. You have the media people and the platforms to do it. But, you know, what concerns me is like the core of it, the people that were actually going to deliver the product have been rejected because it's not, I guess you could say sort of like a play on words here, like Indian wrestling for Indians. And I understand that, you know, in terms of not necessarily their particular needs, but, you know, maybe culturally where it just like it doesn't fit. And, you know, there's certain storylines, right, where like, you know, you make a movie and it looks fine in our eyes, and then sort of like it goes to another country and they're like, this is offensive, or it's, you know, not from our perspective and so on. So like they're really trying to gear it towards that market. So, John, I think the British market was hard to predict. I think maybe the Indian market is even harder to predict. What do you think about this one's chances?
Yeah, I don't know, but especially if it didn't happen already, it was supposed to happen, I doubt it.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? Like you have a date, you know, whatever, yep. And then you like hold it up and you're like, suddenly you have an issue with the type of product, you know, that it is.
What's going on with the NWA right now? What's going on with your guys over there?
Yes. Yeah, so I always enjoy like the local articles that focus on, you know, the distribution when they run a show in PBS and so on. So just going to touch upon one of those via Tampa Bay 28. Enter Bay returns to its roots as Tampa becomes home base for new era of wrestling. I think that's been announced a number of times, but there was a new article. Corgan is working to bring the NWA back to prominence at WED Studios. The ring is in place, chairs are set, and cameras are rolling as the new stars of the NWA prepare for their matches. Tampa's connection to pro wrestling goes many years with the NWA and so on. At WEDU, the ring, okay, it's caffeine and the circus, Jared Kratos joked backstage as performers went through last-minute plans. The circus ringmaster is Billy Corgan. You have been doing this now for a while. How do you balance it all? You have a band, too. I have a band. I have three young children. I have a third one on the way. Wait, I have three young children. I have a third one on the way. Okay, so a little bit confusing there. I started a podcast working with Bill Maher's new podcast network. It's a lot to take on, but I love it. I'm very passionate about it. And bringing back the NWA is something I really hold dear to my heart. I'm not sure I can do it, but there are days I really feel challenged by it. I really feel there's an opportunity. I think recently WWE sale for over $9 billion. I think you see that wrestling in many ways is about to have its biggest era. That is the cool thing about the NWA and what Billy's brought back. There are people that work with us here in Tampa that say, I remember going there and this is where I went on dates before I got married to my wife. My grandfather took me here. I saw Dusty Rhodes here. This is Brian Idol talking. Corgan's hands-on. So, kind of the article that you expect from Billy Corgan, kind of course, connected to the past with the NWA and his passions, aspirational, but talking about like the bigger business. But I think, John, you know, the NWA, I think one of the important things is that it's still around, right? And they got the streaming platform deals and so on, but it's kind of been spinning its wheels for a while. And obviously, the bottom line is if it makes sense to Billy Corgan, then it makes sense to keep going, but they haven't necessarily grown very much.
Very true. Well said. What about West Side Gunn? Speaking of, maybe spinning the wheels in the wrestling business, what's going on with him?
Yeah, so many of us have had our WWE moments where maybe we return later, but for me, it was Katie Vick storyline, where I was just like, I can't, you know, deal with this stuff anymore. And for West Side Gunn, for WWE, it was being kicked out of an event. So he is no longer doing wrestling-themed albums. John, I was actually walking near Times Square, maybe on the edges of Times Square, and there was a huge Million Dollar Man West Side Gunn album poster, like a whole building. And I was like, if only Virgil were alive today, his table would be set up, you know, right there. So obviously somebody that loves wrestling, was willing to invest and so on. But, you know, they kind of ruined his love for it a little bit on the WWE side. So one of the biggest breakups managed to slip under nearly everyone's radar, the split between West Side Gunn and WWE. After spending years tying his brand, imagery, and larger-than-life personality to wrestling, the Buffalo icon had a tense altercation at a WWE event, one that ultimately resulted in a cease and desist order. Oh, I didn't know that. In response, Gunn publicly vowed to move forward without the wrestling branding that has become such a defining part of his aesthetic. His first official step in this new era comes in the form of My Sockanies Glowin', a tight 3-track EP that wastes no time reminding listeners why West Side remains one of the most eclectic curators in rap. So I'm not going to get into why the record works because that's beyond our takes, but just notable in that way. I was like, let me look up, has that dimmed his love of the pro wrestling industry? So his promotion, Fourth Rope, or Heels Have Eyes, a little bit confusing to me which is which, but they were at Art Basel, which of course Sukiban was as well, although Sukiban got all of the press for being there. They were at WrestleCade, which is a smart move. So attaching themselves to events that are either wrestling friendly or wrestling centric. And what's next? The plan was to have season 2 kick off in LA in 2026, but nothing on the board yet. So just interesting to see if, his passion continues. Obviously, he's been at AEW and other shows like that. So more connected to the independent wrestling scene. And I wonder if that was part of the friction, if it had anything to do with working with other promotions, whereas WWE may only want to spotlight and accommodate him if he is fully on board with them.
And finally, DAZN, what's the latest?
Yeah, so just a little bit of speculation. I think DAZN has, of course, done deals with pro wrestling companies before, like TNA, and some of them may still be ongoing, but they haven't really created a huge footprint in the U.S., some attempts at that. So they're in talks, actually, to buy what had been, basically the Sinclair RSN, so that keeps coming back, Main Street Sports Group. But to me, a smart move, especially since they're so combat sports centric, at least here, is to bid on both UFC Fight Pass and the WWE library that's coming off Peacock. That would just make a lot of sense to me from, of course, an outsider looking in. So just a little bit of food for thought.
All right, let's wrap this bad boy up and head towards the plugs. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. How about you, Lavi?
Follow me on X at Lavi Marg, LaviMarg, and check out our Business of the Business LinkedIn group. We want to get to 150 members soon.
Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Business of the Business. See you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our exclusive offer, go to manscaped.com and use the promo code BIZ, B-I-Z, for 20% off and free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. If you really want to make 2023 the year to remember, make sure to try out Manscaped's wet goods as well. This includes the ultra premium body wash, 2-in-1 shampoo, and body deodorant. These products are absolute perfect for follow-up after your New Year's gym sessions. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIZ at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the promo code BIZ, B-I-Z. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Well, winners are getting paid. Now that backlash is in the books, now it's time to regroup before that storm hits. Just like the WWE, the real setup is already in motion. From every promo, every face-off, every backstage stare-down on Raw and SmackDown, it is all building towards one thing, Money in the bank. If you know anything about Money in the Bank, you know chaos is coming, surprise cash-ins, career-defining moments, wild upsets. It's one of the most unpredictable cards of the year, and if you're ready, it can be one of the most profitable, too. Even if you've never bet on WWE before, this is your window. Keep one eye on WWE and keep the other on MyBookie. When the lines go live, they won't sit still for long. Lock in right now. Go to MyBookie. Use the promo code CONTROL, CONTROL, and boost your bankroll. Deposit $50, get an extra $25. Go bigger with $100, and MyBookie throws in $50. That's right. Use the promo code CONTROL, boost that bankroll, deposit $50, get an extra $25, or go bigger, deposit $100, and MyBookie will throw in an extra $50. Bet smart, stay ready, and cash in when it counts, only at MyBookie.
Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites. Made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs. Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and higher fiber options, so your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan of chocolate. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.